Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
As members of the media, journalists who have been actively covering the elections from the run-up and lead-up to the campaigning, right down to election day and voting day, and of course the results center where we were broadcasting live from. Following that, the ongoing feedback around the government of national unity, swearing in of members of parliament, and many other themes, it can lead to fatigue. One of my colleagues actually said to me that I am election fatigued. And that does speak to a level of burnout, mental health that does need to prioritize, not only in our unique sector, but of course, right across various workspaces in South Africa and the world. And this does highlight a concern that has been released in the Gallup report, highlighting that 36% of South African workforce employees experience excessive daily stress, with more than 71% of them either being disengaged or actively disengaged at work, and some of the alarming signs of burnout. Let's find out what this is, what it means, and maybe if you might be struggling with burnout right now. Professor Renata Skooman, Head of Healthcare Leadership at Stellenbosch Business School, joins us now to tell us more. Professor Skooman, such a pleasure to speak to you, ma'am.
Good evening. Good evening, listeners.
Thank you. I'm hoping I've used a very relevant example around what burnout could look like, especially within the context of us as media. But I'm happy for you to cast the scope a lot wider, just to help us understand the state of mental health care in South Africa, and most importantly, the state of burnout within corporates in South Africa.
Yeah, I think it's important. People often ask me, why do people get burnout? And it's maybe not a simple answer. We need to look at the context and the environment. We need to organizations, and we need to look at personal factors. It's not surprising, considering that according to the Mental State of the World report, South Africa has a mental health quotient of 50, which ranks 69 out of 71 countries. And we have the greatest percentage of distressed and struggling respondents at 35%. Now, this is for sure not maybe the worst in the world. There's many other countries, but if we look at who has participated, there's a problem. Also, recently, we looked at a new research study that came out in terms of data and connectivity, where South Africa ranked first as the country that spent the most hours a day online.
Oh, no.
At about 9.5 of our working hours or waking hours, and that definitely also contributes.
My goodness. Okay. And in terms of global rankings, that certainly seems quite high. And maybe let's talk about what burnout looks like and what are the causes that also influence this. Because again, Professor Skooman, I think you can imagine that a lot of the narrative around burnout and stress and strain is the fact that, you're just being weak. And it's unfortunate sentiment that we have, right?
That is the one. Actually, the biggest sentiment is that the work has done it to me. Organizations are all bad, and it's a shared responsibility. It's important to see it as, if you have a risk for burnout, it's actually a good sign. It means you're employed. Burnout cannot develop if it is clearly an occupational phenomenon. So all of us have personal stresses. All of us have other life challenges. But burnout is specifically in the context of being employed in an organization. And the factors that contribute into it is, firstly and foremostly, imbalance in resources, whether it's financial, time, or even intellectual. You know, do you have the knowledge that you need to fulfill your job? But then a very big culprit is a value clash, and it can either be between your personal values and the organizational values, or the proclaimed organizational values versus the lived organizational values. And lastly, if you don't find meaning in your work. Now, not all of us are blessed to have a job that we really love doing. Some of us are really just working to put food on the table and to take care of our family. But that is also our job, then, to find meaning in that. That is still meaningful. But then also the third part is not the organization. The third part is you as a person. And that is where resilience come in. And we all should actively engage in practices that can improve our resilience to deal better with the stress, whether it's work environment or even in our personal life stresses. And that self-care practices is what people often neglect in favor of working excessively long hours. And that is about sleep, exercise, healthy eating, connecting with your loved ones and friends, and also spirituality.
I'm so glad you mentioned some of those self-care practices, because they are very easy to dismiss, right? Like, ah, I can do with 3-4 hours of sleep. Ah, I'll see my family on another day. I'll go to the gym another time. But what you're mentioning is that these are the fundamental ways to actually combat burnout.
Absolutely. And we talk about those activities also as active rest. Merely just sitting on the couch and, I don't know, collecting mold, or what do you call it, chillaxing. Yes. That is not helping you to recover from fatigue and to help you to recover from burnout specifically. And people often say, I don't have time to see my friends. I don't have time to exercise. Where do you find time? And then I say, take out your cell phone, go to your screen time or your digital well-being settings in your cell phone, and you'll be shocked to see how many time or how much time you dwindling away on social media, which is not contributing to your health, how many hours you doom scrolling. And those are simple differences that we can make, and rather invest that time proactively in things that can build our resilience and help to protect us against burnout.
Professor Schoeman, this might seem like an unfair question, but what does burnout feel like?
Sure, it's more than just fatigue. No, when it's normal to be fatigued. If you have a hard day or a long day, I mean, tonight I am fatigued as I'm sitting here. I can't wait to have some food to connect with my little one, and a good excuse to go to bed early. I need to get my 4-year-old in bed. So by the evening, we're all fatigued. The weekends, we're fatigued. But you recover then by sleeping or by resting. Burnout is severe emotional, mental, and physical fatigue, where it doesn't matter if you rest, the feeling is not going away. But that's just one of the symptoms. The other symptoms of burnout, we talk about a triad, so it's the fatigue, but then there's depersonalization, which means I feel detached from my work and I feel detached from people at work, my colleagues. Please don't speak to me. You know, you keep people at a distance, you suddenly start to close your door, you don't want to engage and interact, your clients irritate you. Please don't, if the phone rings, you want to throw the phone. And then thirdly, it's a reduced personal accomplishment. So people work harder and harder and longer hours, but they just don't perform anymore. They don't accomplish what you should be accomplished in that time. Because of the mental fatigue, you do not function cognitively optimally. So it's a vicious circle. I work longer and longer hours, and I accomplish less and less. I become more anxious, more fatigued, sleep less, and so it builds up.
I'm so glad you mentioned this, because a lot of us think that you literally need to have a nervous breakdown or collapsing, but it's all these small aspects that do snowball and can be quite costly in terms of burnout. What do we need to bear in mind, not only as employees to better manage our mental wellness, but as senior managers, leaders of organizations and institutions, to make sure that we protect our staff or guard them and incentivize them to prioritize their mental health?
I'm glad you mentioned the responsibility of the leaders. I want to say the very, very first responsibility of a leader is to look after yourself. Yes. You need to practice what you preach. Secondly, you need to establish policies which protect you and your employees by supporting work-life boundaries. And I deliberately don't use the word work-life balance, because I think it's a fallacy. What do we balance? 8 hours work, 8 hours personal time, 8 hours sleep. There is no such thing. But it's about being present and doing your best with the time that you have available in that moment. So when you work hard and dedicated and focused. When you're with your family, you do that also hard and with passion and with being present and mindful and not sitting on yourself and checking work emails instead of reading your toddler a book on your lap.
Yep.
Or trying to do both. That is the worst. And then also the organizational policies. Often we think only in terms of burnout prevention and mental health awareness programs. And it's more than just culture. It's about a culture where there's open and safe communication. And you, if you as a leader are prepared to be vulnerable and lead by example and speak up when you take strain or even disclose it, you will create that environment of trust where other people are also be prepared and not scared of discrimination or even you being angry or discriminate against them for taking strain.
Definitely.
And then also, I think what's very important, we don't talk enough about the high performance, your star performers. You know, often people think in terms of performance management or performance support for the people that take strain. But what about those people that you always can rely on? They like working. They always raise their hand. You know, you can ask them anything. They will do it. They just find more hours. You are then a big contributor to your star performance in terms of burnout. Because they won't want to disappoint, but they don't flourish under the circumstances where they never are rewarded, never acknowledged, and an unfair workload and an unfair distribution. And if you do not show them that it's okay to delegate, can definitely contribute to burning out those people you specifically should protect as well.
100%. Such a pleasure speaking to you, Professor Skooman. Truly appreciate the details you shared with us, and most importantly, key learnings and lessons that we all need to implement in the workplace. Thank you again.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. That's Professor Renata Skooman, Head of Healthcare Leadership at Stellenbosch Business School, giving us some insight into understanding the real cost of burnout at work as it is Corporate Mental Health Week. Check in on your colleagues, eh? When everyone says that they're tired, take it very seriously, because it could mean a multitude of factors, but it is important that we adequately make time to switch off. Rest is also part of the journey, right? It's also part of the growth trajectory and strategy.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.